This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name is Jared Knight, and I'm joined on this Thursday morning, as I am each and every Thursday morning, by Mr. Bob Akin. Sir, how are you?
I am delighted to be here.
Well, very good to hear that. And I tell you, every week you come in and you break down something.
Well,
and every week we tease what we're going to do next, and I'm sure it's time to do that right now.
Well, why don't we tease a bit?
Okay.
And we've got the State of the Union. We've got yet another presidential primary coming up.
Right.
And there have been some events in the world of the perspiring arts that require a little observation.
Sure.
So why don't we just begin with how the State of the Union, as usual, frames a campaign year.
Let's do it.
And in this case, it's something that I would have thought any incumbent administration could not possibly have gotten enough help from their opponents to set it up just perfectly. Obama's folks in Washington and in the campaign office in Chicago could not have asked for more help and gotten it from both the Gingrich and Romney campaigns, as they are systematically destroying each other, claiming that they themselves are the most electable when they are now both in negative numbers.
Sure.
Just amazing stuff. But that is something that bears absolutely no margin. It's not even within the margin of error as to which side Obama has staked out for himself and to which side he's tried to relegate his opponents.
Right.
And they have stepped right into it on the shorter side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Fairness and reality versus unearned or unworthy privilege.
Sure.
And just rage against reality. I think we should probably describe how the Gingrich winning coalition in South Carolina was put together, which has been described as angry white men. It's a phrase that crops up periodically going back to the 60s. That's essentially who the Gingrich voters and the Perry voters, when they merged together, there were more of them put together than the Romney voters.
Right, right.
And it's something that you just can't stress this enough. It's not so much political issues. It's stuff you can see in the census data and all other kinds of demographic analysis over the last 10 to 15, 20 years. It's kind of the emerging America that both culturally and economically that Obama has tried to stake out as his turf and build on, and the old America, what they fear is the America that's being lost, that is being defended by an increasingly smaller slice of the electorate. Folks who were back 4 years ago simply could not believe that there were not that many people like them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As I think it's probably something that we ought to just state unequivocally. When you hear the common description of Obama and the administration as something foreign, European, socialist, that sort of thing.
Right.
You got to remember, right now, in Europe, every major country is governed by a conservative or by a center-right coalition. There is not one left-of-center or center-left coalition government.
Right.
And they are all following the prescription that those sorts of economists who they're listening to have tried to sell through the Republican mainstream, which is austerity, cut the budget,
right.
And in fact, these are the ones who predictably are suffering recessions right now. You know, the main problem that Obama has been that they have not been able to grow fast enough, but it is the only economy in the West that's growing significantly is the United States, and it's not growing fast enough. By the way, our neighbors, Canada and Mexico, also have conservative governments with getting similar kinds of results. But I think what we probably ought to just kind of look at is, in this struggle for power here, there's an event that occurred this past week in State College, Pennsylvania, with the death of Joe Paterno.
Right.
That has, I'm not going to try to get into what do you know and when do you know it. Was he the greatest coach ever? No, but one of the better. How could he, or how could he not have known? That sort of thing. The point is, how did one guy, a football coach who has several levels of responsibility removed from the top of the university on the formal organization chart acquire that much power and influence in a bureaucracy? Well, first, he'd been there in his head coaching job over 45 years in his 46th season and had been there for 60 or more.
Right.
Well, part of that has to do with he was a favorite and had close political and personal alliances with key board members. Their longtime board chairman, who was also chairman and CEO at Merrill Lynch back in the 80s and 90s, was somebody who was his close friend and who helped each other in terms of fundraising for the university. He would always be on call to help Shire do his... Well, might be helpful to a client of Merrill Lynch. Nobody ever understood that essentially the people that he reported to, if he had hired them, it had been on his recommendation or where his influence on a formal or informal search committee was decisive.
Sure.
His athletic director, his senior VP, indeed his president, were largely beholden to him for the jobs that they held, he and his friends on the board.
Right.
I think what we might want to point out, the only significant event that ever occurred in Penn State athletics that he was opposed to was when the last president that he hadn't had a hand in hiring, Brash Jordan, negotiated Penn State into the Big Ten well over 20 years ago. We ought to look back and say, as somebody said at the time, the Lord Acton's dictum, that power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right.
Whether it was corrupt or simply a blind spot, that kind of clout, nobody wanted to buck him.
Right. And that's the sort of thing when you come up against somebody who has that, you really don't stand a chance anyway.
No.
Right.
And we'll pick up on themes similar to that in the future.
How about next week?
Hey, that's future.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Mr. Aiken, thank you so much for joining us.
We will do it again.
All right. Your news is on the way. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.